welcome to Primary Attribute. We're a Castles and Crusades actual play podcast. My name is Ian. I'm the Castle Keeper, or Game Master, as it's known in a lot of other systems, and I use they/them pronouns.
Hey, my name is Adam. I play as Vons and cool Vons. We're doing great, thank you. We all use he/him pronouns. Both of my Vonses are fox folk people, and one of them is an alchemist, and the other is he's just a hanging out kind of cool guy who does sneaky things. Right now he's on the hunt for his friend, who will introduce himself in a minute. Well, the original recipe is still sleep in bed.
I'm Aaron. I play Jesse Sweetbone Phelps, the half-orc ranger. We both use they, she pronouns, and Jesse is still asleep in a pile of spouses.
I love that.
I'm Kelly. I play Wealthy Taylor, the halfling wizard. We both use she, her pronouns. And Wealthy has committed the ultimate sin. She has forgotten to leave a note.
And I'm Wit. I play Grix, the kobold illusionist slash mechanic, and Steamboat Willie, the kobold pilot. We all use he, him pronouns, and Steamboat Willie is coming out of the cave, and Grix is still asleep.
All right. If you get a chance, you should review us on your podcast platform of choice. It helps people find us. It makes us feel good about what we do, and you should do it for every other podcast you listen to as well. Aaron, would you like to do the recap?
Yes. Cool Vons wanted to help. So he found Frymeath FM and Aramith in the middle of the night. They made their way to command, where they found May, who said that Wealthy and Cog had gone up to the top of the mountain to find Steamboat Willie. They did eventually find Wealthy and Cog and Steamboat Willie, kind of. Wealthy was using Fly to cover more ground in the tunnels, and eventually found Steamboat Willie. Steamboat Willie was making his way through the caves. He found a pipe coming out of a wall with a waterfall coming out of it, and got into a tussle with a grizzly bear that is also a spider, which he managed to avoid that fight by making himself look big and yelling to scare it. He was making his way down that shaft when Wealthy flew up, hit the net from below, and then had to catch Cog, who fell off her back, and then they found Steamboat Willie. And then Cool Vons was making his way up a ladder, thought he might hear some people talking, and so he yelled, and Steamboat Willie heard it kind of and yelled back down, and Vons heard it kind of. So both groups are confirmed to be in the same area. And as previously stated, Jesse, Prime Grix, and Prime Vons are all still asleep. That's it.
Yeah. And now we get to go through the tunnels, and I get to wonder if you're going to find the thing that I accidentally traumatized myself looking up.
Ian.
Oh, no.
Sometimes you open an academic paper on a topic and you aren't prepared for the photos that are included.
Ian, what?
This will only make sense in context.
Jesus Christ. This is the worst vaguing you've ever done.
It's the worstest we ever done it. All right. So, at the top, we have Cog, Wealthy, and Steamboat Willie.
Uh-huh.
Steamboat Willie, now the proud owner of improvised clothing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I made that sarong out of Wealthy's cloak.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then
I'm sorry. I remember none of this, so
it's all good. You lent me your cloak because I was naked.
Well, I remember you were naked.
You were naked.
Excuse me.
I hate you all. I mean, collaborative friendship. Is it naked's apparently on my short list of terms I just really don't like.
Right up there with toe beans?
Yeah, not for any good reason. I just don't like a certain kind of, like, intentionally infantile language.
You realize that that while I was walking through the waterfall, my nakey toe beans were moist.
Steamboat Willie, once thought saved, slips and falls. Wealthy's feather fall spell, that does not work. And for some reason, there's a net of monofilament wire across.
Ah, get Resident Evil'd.
Yep. All right. So up top are those three. Coming up from the bottom is Cool Vons with no other player characters.
Incredible.
But you got your Frymeath. You got your Green Day Frymeath, also known as FM. Also known as a different nickname I thought up with that is very good, but I have no context to give it to any of you. So
damn,
it'll just
it
live in my heart. Someone can ask him again at some point. You have Aramith, and those are all Aracene's relatives. Because, you know.
Except the one that's in jail. Makes you rot in hell.
Not all of, just they are all Aracene's relatives. Others have been left to rot in jail. As one does. And you also have Lucky.
Okay.
I think that's your crew.
I mean, we're all looking for some, but like, is it appropriate to call them a posse?
They can be a posse.
Yeah.
You're party leader by default when it comes to the perspective of the gameplay. So. All right. So you all have to navigate up and or down a very tall mountain full of many twisting passages, all alike. And we are not going to do every single turn, because I am kind. So we are going to do some navigation checks, and along the way you may or may not encounter stuff. And as I understand it, your current plan is for the bottom group to go up to the top group and then all band together to presumably head down to the bottom again.
Does the top group know that the bottom group is coming up?
They know you're both there, but I don't think you were able to communicate a plan. You just know they're present.
Yeah, like literally you could just hear that there were other people.
Yeah.
And you could kind of hear that they were the people you were looking for.
Yeah, so.
Well, we should go down and meet them halfway.
Well, yeah.
No, we're going to wait up here.
No, that's what I was trying to say, is that the top group is going down.
Yeah.
And the middle group is, or the bottom group is going up to somewhere along the way where they will, in theory, meet up with the top group. And then I would assume escort them down, unless you want to start new lives here, which, you know, all your bliss.
There's fish.
Yeah. But Vons, does that sound like the plan of your group?
Yeah.
You sound unsure?
Well, I just had to give it some consideration for a second.
Okay.
All right. Okay, first off, let's start with Cool Vons, your group.
Uh-huh.
You are navigating around inside a mountain. Traditionally navigation, and in this case, because you don't have a lot of landmarks or anything, this is going to be a wisdom check. Your favorite thing.
Yeah. Do I get to, I've probably got the opportunity to consult with somebody who might know this area better than he does.
Frymeath knows this area somewhat from the early days when they were establishing the arcs, so he can do intelligence checks to try to assist you, and will do so.
Yeah.
Because he has to remember stuff.
Yeah, Vons had no idea that he might have known this place so long ago, but sure.
He actually mentioned last time that it's been a long time since he'd been up here. And that he was up there like right when they were starting. But presumably doing soldiery things of some variety or soldier related
things.
Then Vons
might know to ask.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
So Frymeath passes his intelligence check to... He doesn't know the area super well, and this is mostly natural caverns. There's occasional things like ladders or whatever that were built in to help maintenance crews, presumably for some part of the hydrology up here, or maybe just making it so you have access to the whole mountain should you need it. But generally speaking, this is all natural tunnels.
Hmm.
So, you know, there's not too many, by which I mean there's not too many identifying features to work with.
Sure.
And actually, Aramith has also been up here, but does not do as well. She explains that she hasn't been to everywhere up here, but she's been up to some of the shallower parts.
But moreover, a natural tunnel hasn't been planned.
Yeah.
And so, there's no like structure to it or wayfinding or anything like that.
Exactly. Like there's no signs. There's no, this goes directly that way. Trying to stay near the kind of that central, you're pretty sure central, you're not positive, waterfall area.
Are we starting to get that feeling like we've seen that stalagmite before?
Yes, but if you vocalize that, almost everyone who's lived here a long time says you get used to it. In terms of just like
the ambiguity of stalagmites.
The caves are all distinct, but only to an extent. And so, yeah, trusting or learning to kind of sense what direction you've been going and kind of keep a running map in your head are very important. But we all got to start somewhere. So you're going to make a wisdom check. You can add a d6 because Frymuth passed.
Okay.
His intelligence check to help you navigate.
The best. I got a 13 between the two plus 9, I believe, is what we have to add. So 22.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yay! I head mathed.
Hooray. So you
it's a lot in the morning.
So you navigate through these tunnels. You find a small ladder off to one side. You get the sense that you're going further away from the... You've had to go pretty far away from that central waterfall area where you called up to your friends, but you roughly know the direction back to it, so you're not completely turned around. And as you walking through a tunnel, you hit a fork, and on one side you see a big open room that you can see the dim light of an overcast, like pre-sunrise sky coming down through. And when you poke your head in, you find that it is from a grate high up on the wall. It's one of those things that, like, it would technically be a tunnel into here, but it would basically lead to you falling out of part of the ceiling.
Ah, okay.
But between that and your low light vision, you can see where you are. And this is a pretty big room. It has like a small pit for a firestone, essentially, in the middle, marked off with a ring of rocks, a carryover from when people built firefires because wood was abundant. There's empty bottles and detritus here and there. Looks like a couple of piles of like skins, old bedrolls, and more importantly, the walls in here are covered in graffiti.
Ah.
It looks, when you get a closer look, it's mostly names.
Oh.
Occasionally, you know, person was here, letter plus letter, dates written on stuff.
Heart.
Hearts, so this place yes. was once
This is very
popular.
High. Yeah.
A lover's lane.
Well, I was actually thinking...
That's where the teens go to neck.
Yeah, I was actually thinking, you know, the crypts in, I think it might be Rome, Italy, some place like that, where some of them have become just like places people kind of challenge themselves to visit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some in Italy, some in Rome, much more in Paris.
Yeah.
Well, to possibly confuse it further, Aramith goes, "Oh, it's been forever since I've been here." And if you would like to make an intelligence check to try to make anything interesting out about the graffiti, you can.
He's remembering necking.
Yeah, I want to see if any of the people here are looking at any of this graffiti specifically. Rolled a 6 on the die that time. This die is not feeling so good. Are you okay, buddy? So I guess that would add up to 16. Because his intelligence is higher than his wisdom. It's 16 on a prime, though.
Okay, so 16 on a prime. You go, you scan around, and... So, sorry, it sounded like you're almost looking at the people looking at the graffiti? Okay.
Well, because this Vons can barely read.
That's fair. All right, so...
Well, he can read, he just can't read here.
Yeah. So, interesting. So I'm going to say that you look at the people looking at the graffiti... You see a couple of things. Mostly, the Frymuth from Universe seems mildly interested, but also has not had a chance to learn to read the language here or the lettering here in the, you know, few days you've been here and not been. You might be okay. Slightly further than you because you might have started working on it sooner, but
Vaughn suppresses the urge to feel a little superior.
Yeah. The Frymuth, this universe seems unimpressed. Aramith is looking at a spot and notices you noticing and goes, "That's where I signed it, and it's farther up the wall than she can reach. I got up on my boyfriend's shoulders to sign it there."
Aww.
It was fun. And then, yeah, I think that's it, because you can't read the other stuff, so one other point of interest goes unclicked. But that's about all you find. This appears to have just been, as was guessed by some of the other players, a makeout spot / the teens go here.
That's kind of a nice thought.
Yeah. And say, you've learned that the tunnels are dangerous, but it seems like the ones on the way here are mostly just twisty. So it's probably not too dangerous to get up here.
So we're kind of in the intestines of the whole mountain situation.
I mean, if you want to call it that, everyone here kind of lives in the intestines of the mountains. But yeah.
So, it's a biome.
Yeah, we probably don't need that vision in our head.
Too late, apparently.
Apparently.
So you're off the beaten path, but not too far. But yeah, so you have found Makeout Point, or Makeout Cave, as a little bit of water drips in from that tunnel in the ceiling. It is still storming outside quite badly, from what you can hear. And there's even like a whistle as the wind howls across that opening. But you don't hear any fights, so that's cool.
Okay.
I'm sure it's not just because you're not located directly next to one of them. The sound's getting lost in the wind.
Yeah. Oh, do we hear anything? So you're saying we don't hear anything outside of the cave?
Make a wisdom check and add your listen bonus of +2.
Sure.
Do you have listen as a class skill now?
Okay, well, 10 is still below the halfway point, little guy. 12, so I guess that puts it at 21.
All right. You listen closely, but you can just hear the wind and the rain and the occasional clap of thunder. And since you have listened for that, looks like you were maybe at the wrong angle for it, but it looks like there's some flashes of lightning going on nearby too. So that's fun for everyone. But yeah, you don't hear anything else out there. All right.
Well, should we keep moving, gang?
Yeah, like he says. And you keep on moving. People up top.
Uh-huh.
So, Steamboat Willie.
Yeah.
And Wealthy.
Uh-huh.
And Cog, your local maintenance crew chief, Kobold, who got nabbed into this, but gives you more of a bonus because he's not super familiar with up here, but he is much more familiar with the interior of the mountains, winding tunnels in general. So, who is leading the way?
I think it should be Cog.
Which player character is leading the way?
Me.
Did I guess it's Wealthy? No, it should be Wealthy.
Okay.
All right. Wealthy.
I'm used to being in inside more than you are, Steamboat.
Wealthy, you're going to make a wisdom check. Steamboat Willie, you can make an intelligence check to try to help. And then Wealthy, you're going to get a... Steamboat Willie will give you a D6. If he doesn't succeed, then Cog will give you a D4.
I rolled a 18 for Steamboat Willie's check.
Okay. All right, this is an intelligence check?
Oh. It is. Add a D6.
Oh, and a D6.
Because Steamboat Willie succeeded.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's 17, 19, 20. A very dirty 20.
The filthiest of 20s. So, you go and you're starting right next to the waterfall, which actually makes things easier a little bit. I mean, you both did, but your initial part has you just winding around that waterfall shaft a little bit longer, but eventually that carved out path does end and you end up back in the natural tunnels as well. Shocking. All right. For being next to a waterfall, everything is still pretty wet and slick. And and you're going along the tunnels and you do see off to one side of the space you're going through, there is a small, still pool of water, just kind of in one side of the pathway that you would guess leads to some sort of short tunnel or narrow tunnel that goes through there. It is a little weird that it's not draining, but other than that, it's a pool of water. You could probably drink from it, stick your hand in it, ignore it completely. But it does feel a little weird that it's here, this high up in a mountain that otherwise seems to have an actively flowing hydraulic system.
Yeah, I'm not trusting it.
Yeah. You don't touch stagnant water in mines. Trap gases in there.
As I suddenly wonder if that's ever been a huge concern in the Ark specifically. Anyway, but all right. So you all keep on moving, sounds like?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. And I'm going to stick with you guys for a second. Please make another roll, Wealthy. You're rolling wisdom again. Steamboat Willie, please roll intelligence.
That is... that's a 9 plus 10 is 19 and not a prime.
Slightly worse, 17.
Okay.
Than before I meant.
Wealthy, did you add a D6? Now. Yes.
I mean, I had rolled.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Then I'm at 24.
I can't remember if Kelly had said she added 86. All right. So you're 24. Cool. So you go and you realize after a couple of false starts partway down here. It's been, you guys have been going for like at least an hour at this point as well. But realize after a couple of false starts of kind of following the obvious ways in or down, only to have them end in spots that get too narrow or, you know, full of evil stalactites and stalagmites, or occasionally having signs of something living there that sure seems like it would be big and scary from the bits you've seen. You know, piles of bones, things like that. But you do manage to, you backtrack and you figure out that going out is probably your best option. And so you, not totally outside, but towards the outside of the mountain.
Oh, okay.
And you pick your way along and you feel a cool breeze washing in, but you don't see light until you make your way out onto. You're in a large cavern that has like a long flat floor that appears to just end in a steep ledge. But then part of the mountain extends past that and overhangs it. So you can see a little bit of light from the outside, but you basically would have to hop off the ledge, fall down a bit, and then you would start seeing freely to the outside. It's under shelter. But the other thing you notice is that there are a lot of birds here. Like,
okay.
And they are big and they look at you suspiciously. And Wealthy and Steamboat Willie both of you make intelligence checks or wisdom checks, your choice to recognize birds.
That is a nat one.
You're pretty sure they are parrots and pets.
Parrots and pets?
Yeah, they're pet parrots. So you should just be able to walk up to them, ask them if they want a cracker, you know.
I rolled really well. I got a 19 on the die, 27.
Okay. And sorry, Kelly, were you going to say something?
I don't trust birds like that. You know, I just don't trust them.
Oh, don't trust birds. Don't trust birds ever. Even the nice ones will bite you.
Eventually, yes.
Well, all right.
I don't trust them, so I'm leaving them alone.
Steamboat Willie, as you look around.
Uh-huh.
You hear a biologically inaccurate call in your head as you see what sure looks like a bald eagle of some variety or something very, very similar. The coloration's off, but you know, same shape, same beak shape, same horrible little whack noise instead of anything majestic.
Okay.
But you also notice a bunch of other birds of prey and, you know, hawks, falcons, all of that sort of thing. And
this is weird.
Yes, you know that birds of prey do not normally live in close proximity to each other.
Right, sure.
And these are all packed in pretty tight.
Yeah.
And the other
they also don't live inside.
Yes.
You is do. Steamboat, is Willie seeing the same thing I've seen?
I mean, how would you know?
Well, okay.
What if I was we being all sarcastic when see I the said same colors, but differently?
No, you're talking about birds of prey and I'm thinking parrots. Okay.
I was being sarcastic about your natural.
Yeah, you did that.
You just don't recognize the birds.
I just don't recognize the birds.
Also, I think as part of your sheltered inside a mountain upbringing, well, not inside a mountain, but in a pretty calm place, you don't have an idea of how dangerous these birds would be when encountered up close.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But the other thing, Steamboat, that answers your question is that you see, Aaron, roll for level of terror for me. Roll a d10.
Me?
Yes.
6.
All right. Not particularly terrorizing. The horrible idea I thought of for this has not come to pass. You see an eagle, fly in from, it looks like, beneath the level of the ledge, carrying in a pretty sizable rabbit. And many of the other birds descend upon it, and they all seem to not actually be fighting as they tear it apart. You would guess that they use the overhang as shelter from the outside, but they can still get in and out.
Mm.
It's a pretty big overhang gap, at least 10
feet. Yeah, we could probably leave there.
Do you want to hop over to the ledge and take a look?
Yeah, but I'm going to be real careful of the birds. If they look agitated, I'm going to back off.
Make wisdom or charisma check, your choice.
Charisma.
I'm shocked.
Real bad. 11 prime.
All right, you go and you creep on over the ledge. You're getting some looks from the birds in that suspicious bird-like way, but you make it there and you look out over the ledge. You can see now that the overhang sticks out like 15 feet from where you are. So there's a pretty sizable gap. And then looking down, you can see that it ends about another 15 feet down and you can see out onto the mountainside from there. So as long as one can dive down or climb steeply, you can get in and out from here without any trouble.
Hmm.
You can see the mountainside below. It's quite a bit of a drop from here. The mountainside's pretty steep. The next flat area you see looks like it's at least 50 feet down. And even then, there's no obvious. Down there, you kind of hit a ridgeline, so it is flatter. You would still be scrambling over, you know, spikes of rocks and boulders that have been stuck there and things like that to get to your next destination. There's no obvious, like, there's another door over here kind of thing down there.
Uh-huh.
But you would be out on the mountainside, and it would be, you would not be restricted by the interior of the mountain as far as your movement.
I think we're good. I'll report back to the others, to Wealthy and Cog, but my inclination is to stay inside.
As you go to report back, missing your check, Ghost comes back to bite you. Because you realize as you stand up and are about to head back towards the group that you're next to a nest.
Oh.
Or your route takes you next to a nest.
Oh.
Which has
little baby birds.
Does have little baby birds in it. They look paler than you would expect, and their eyes seem to glow just a tiny bit.
Oh, gosh.
Not a lot. And not in like a evil flash scare away. Just, you don't know if it's bioluminescence or how low light vision works around here or what, but there's definitely a bit of a glow. And then you hear agitated screeching from behind you, and you realize you are between a pair of hawks and their nest, as far as you can tell. And that they have not taken kindly to your intrusion.
I'm going to, like, drop to the ground and try to crawl away.
Okay. You're going to roll a d10 with me. We're rolling for initiative, but we're not doing full combat. It's just
got it.
How fast do you move?
6.
Okay. You manage to drop to the floor fast and crawl quickly, but non-threateningly. And you scramble away before they can get up on you and decide that your face would look better with several talon marks in it. And you scramble back to Cog and Wealthy.
Not that way.
Okay. What did you see?
There's a cliff, but it's a cliff. We can't fly.
Okay.
Anymore.
So, okay.
Yeah. I say inside. Otherwise, we're gonna be, you know, climbing.
Well, understood. Do you have that magic where people don't die if they fall down? Thanks.
I have feather fall, but the mountain is cone shaped, so we'd have a problem with feather falling because if we'd have to jump way the heck out so that we would actually fall where we wanted to fall. Otherwise, we would jump out and land 15 feet, and then the spell is over.
It's over,
isn't it? The way it works? When you land, once you land, the spell is over.
That has always felt like how it's flavored, if nothing else. But
yeah.
At any rate, yeah.
Oh, okay. I guess so.
So you understand? Yeah. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. The first hit is done. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're right.
Feather fall's not going to be great. We would need fly would be much better, but I've used my fly for today.
All right, but if one of us like falls down some deep pit,
we can make it so we can see
the bottom coming for a long way before the spikes hit us.
Yeah.
Cool.
Basically.
All right. No outside the mountain. Probably good. Because I wouldn't want to be out there right now. And all right, you continue onwards.
We do.
Cool, Vons.
Yes.
Roll another wisdom check for me.
Another wisdom check. Wisdom rolled a 13. This little guy he's struggling. He's doing a little better. 22.
All right. So you start getting turned around as this place gets even less developed, and you just hit a spot where it seems like every way you try, there's like a steep ledge that you know you would have trouble getting up to. It just gets too narrow for for every member of your party, because you're all medium sized. Or you just keep finding dead ends. So at a certain point, you conclude that, at least from the way you've approached this, you might need to head outside and climb up a bit. You have noticed from just what you've picked up so far that there are doors going to the outside, and most of them are grated and locked, but that's not necessarily a problem for you. But you think you're going to have to go outside to proceed, or backtrack significantly.
You are just pushing us, aren't you?
Well,
Ian wants to kill us. That's all there is to it.
They're tired of the game. And
Ian is tired of having this many fucking characters. They just want to get rid of some of us.
I mean,
I'll just kill off all the NPCs.
they are dealing with a lot of NPCs right now.
Who are all being very quiet and orderly as they follow behind you in one single file line.
Well, but let's ask their opinion. I mean, what makes the most sense to them? Should we backtrack and find another way through, or do you guys think that we should take the outside route?
I think Prime Frymeath will be the one talking here, and he goes, well, the outside would be expedient if we can find another entrance. Backtracking would take some time, and I suppose it depends on how in danger we think the people we're trying to rescue are. There's certainly a number of creatures and monsters and hazards up here, so backtracking might leave them to their own devices more than we might want. Going outside, if we stayed low and moved fast, or at least, you know, stayed undercover and kept an eye on the skies, would not be the most dangerous thing in the world. It would be wet and miserable.
That does make sense, but I just want to make sure nobody in this party signed up to go outside. So what do you guys all think? Are you all comfortable with getting out there and doing an adventure outside?
You get two and whatever shrugs from the Frymeaths you get. Aramith just goes, I mean, I'm sneaky enough that one of you will get eaten before me, so I wouldn't be happy about it. But I need the sense of false bravado to not freak out. So yes, I can go outside. And Lucky just goes, yeah, I mean, I gotta go out there at some point.
Oh my god.
When it's dangerous and stuff.
Has never been. Oof. Well, I haven't really been outside. Well, I guess I have been outside.
Think of all the fresh air we'll get.
Oh, so much fresh air. Oh, well, yeah, we should definitely, thinking back on what the soldiers were going through down below. Okay, well, I guess if they can do it, we can do it. Although they seem to have more of a plan than we do. I guess we'll just try to be quick, and if we lose track of let's just not lose track of where we exit from.
I'll do my best. Okay. Okay. So you go and you work your way towards the outside.
Well, Ian, I swear to God, if you kill Lucky, I will never forgive you.
We'll have a revolt of listeners.
What? All right.
That's not why Aracene gave her that equipment, okay?
That's right. She does have Aracene's equipment, which she's probably using right now. All right, so
you go. You're just giving us an excuse to run into something scary. Okay.
A corrupted creature that hates Aracene's dagger specifically appears. All right, so you make your way to one of the outer grates. Vaughn, would you like to try to pick the lock?
Yeah, that would be the thing to do.
Okay, roll a dexterity check, please.
Dex, okay. That's a 10. His dex is a plus 1. I can't remember. Is dex one of his primes? I think it is. So I guess that puts it at 20.
Yep. You pretty quickly make good work of this lock. You're still getting used to the lockpicking tools here. You know, they're no paperclip, as you mentioned, but you're getting a feel for it pretty fast. It's kludgy, but so are the locks. So just kind of getting used to making, you know, bigger motions, things like that has been a little bit tricky, but you manage it and you make your way outside. Now I need a dexterity check or a strength check, your choice, as you navigate up this mountain, and an intelligence check to find your next entrance based on squinting up at the mountain and not getting fooled by things like false summits.
Okay. So I remember the... talking about another dexterity check for that first check?
Yeah, make the dexterity check first.
Little die. So that's a 9. That would be a 19.
Okay. And then make your intelligence check for where you're going.
So 7. This is a dexterity check as well, you said?
This is an intelligence check.
Intelligence check. So that would be a 17 prime.
Okay. So you go and you're doing pretty well, given that it is pouring rain, so everything is soaking wet. The winds are really high up here because you're you're not quite at a height where cool Vons would be like, I'm basically standing on a plane wing in terms of how much wind there is up here, but like there's really strong gusts, but you, with your dexterity, manage to stay low and cut through places that are a little more sheltered. And you think you spot a way in pretty far up, but you know where you're going. And from squinting at the skies through low light vision, and actually make a wisdom check to do listening as well.
Okay. So for listening, that I get to add the bonus for that?
Yeah, so you're adding +2.
Oh, well, that's good. 5 + 2 = 7, pulls it up to 16.
Not a prime.
Not prime.
You strain your ears, you can't hear any sounds of fighting, and you aren't quite sure where you are relative to the plazas where most of the fighting tends to be. But you keep an eye on the skies regardless, because there could well be patrols or something out here. And you're cutting your way through a bunch of rocks that are sticking up like shark spikes out of the ground in a small cleft. And you feel, or you rolled pretty, you got good eyes. Nah, you still feel a slight crunch beneath your feet. And you look down and see quite a number of skeletons.
Huh.
In armor, most of which appears to be almost pure rust at this point, hanging off their bones.
Well, in a facetious but grim tone, Vaughn says, hey, free armor. Maybe we... can we still make it back to the hatch?
You could. This also isn't blocking your way forward, and presumably these people didn't die recently.
It's not encouraging my way forward.
No. Prime Frymeath comes up next to you and kind of steps carefully around. You see now that there's, you know, broken spears that would have had metal shafts and swords and a shield and things like that kind of scattered among these two. And make an intelligence check.
Okay.
I don't remember if CSI's out yet, but you know about forensics.
Oh, no, CSI or... Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was out by then.
Yeah.
I think that was out when I was still in high school.
Yeah.
Okay, so 13 on the die. You said intelligence?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So call that 23?
Okay, so you're kind of looking these over, if only because Frymeath has, by virtue of not moving back with you, delayed your retreat. What an asshole. And, you notice a couple things. One, you would guess that based on the condition of the bones and the gear that these folks probably died from falling.
Oh.
Something tore them apart. You notice like the way some of the bodies are, like some of them clearly kind of hit going diagonally at these, the side of these spikes at speed, things like that, where like.
Right. So some of that armor has some pretty obvious impact spots.
Yeah. What of it that's left? And the other thing you notice, and Frymeath notices a second after you, is that there is a set of armor that is in remarkably good condition, given that it's been outside for God knows how long.
Oh, so actual free armor.
Yes.
Provided it's not cursed.
I'm going to read the sense of urgency among the group. Would it be a good idea to like make sure that somebody who isn't armored has armor right now?
You know, I think you reflect on the fact that you don't currently have any armor.
Oh, so they just kind of look back at me and they're like, dude.
Because, like, Lucky would have some really basic armor, like a, you know, padded coat. The Frymeaths are not armored, but don't seem concerned by this fact. And Aramith is armored. That said, you're not sure if this armor is, you know, your style, but you can take a look at it at least.
I mean, he's a rogue.
He is.
Yeah, armor in general is works against him, if I'm not mistaken, right?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Light armor is more or less the best idea,
yeah,
if at all. Well, considering all he's doing right now is walking, he can get some armor off in a hurry, right? So disrobing mid-encounter probably wouldn't be easy.
No.
But...
it also might be useful for one of your comrades.
Yeah.
Like Jesse, who gets hit by stuff a lot.
Yeah. This seems valuable and hate to waste it.
Yeah. All right. So you head on over.
Mm-hmm.
This one landed pretty flat on their back. So you didn't know if the impact killed them or something knocked them down there. But the armor itself is a breastplate and chain. It is made out of a silvery metal that doesn't look quite like steel to you. And if it was steel, it would have rusted away long ago out here. And more importantly than all of that, there is, well, pseudo more importantly, the armor itself has been painted. That paint has also lasted all this time. And, or like a ceramic inlay. There is it's decorated colorfully with what looked to be kind of a meadow motif, but there's actually a daffodil kind of highly and prominently as the center image.
So that's interesting. I mean, I thought that this person just kind of fell here more recently, but no. This must be some kind of fancy armor.
Frybeath just looks at you and goes, it is.
neat.
We'd wondered what happened to the Order of the Meadow Detachment. They disappeared one day during one of the defenses shortly after we took off.
Yikes.
We defended more of the mountain back then. It wasn't secured. And apparently this is where Elin fell, so...
Oh, you knew this guy?
Mostly in passing. He headed another unit.
Huh. Is there anything of, like, of him left, or is this just skeletal remains at this point?
I mean, there's skeletal remains.
Yeah. Okay, so we don't need to clean this armor off any further. It's probably fine.
I might clean it off when you get it back, but I also don't think he would mind you taking it.
Well,
relentlessly yeah. practical, that one.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure all these people would appreciate some good recycling. Upcycling, even. Maybe we'll find some nice, like, patches for it or something.
Prime just kind of goes, and then helps you get the armor. Recover the armor.
You said it wasn't Vaughn's style.
Yeah. Let's see. Vaughn's, you notice when you pick it up. So this is a breastplate. Breastplates are, I believe, normally medium armor. They might be heavy. Either way, this is really light for a breastplate and chainmail.
Neat.
As someone who doesn't normally wear armor, just in your day-to-day life. You're kind of learning on the fly here, but you're not sure if you would be comfortable in this right away. You might be able to train in it, but it still might make sneaking a little bit harder, but like it might not be as bad.
Well, he didn't think he'd be good at katana either, so...
Yes. Time to be a rogue fighter multi-class.
Well, let's not force it yet. That sounds dangerous.
Nope, so settled.
And actually make a wisdom check real quick.
Sure. Damn it. So I guess this would be a 14.
Okay. Yeah, it's light. But you don't, you know, can anything else off of it. So, all right, you have armor.
I mean, yeah, some nice stuff.
Do you want to try putting it on, or are you going to leave it for now?
Being unclassed in it, I don't know much about the rogue class. How much detriment does it cause me to wear armor he's not, like, familiar with?
For some reason, I can remember that helms give you, like, a -2 penalty on your listen check. I can't remember what the actual meaningful rules are. So, one second. I will find it for you. There we go. Yeesh.
Yeah, he's definitely going to restyle this stuff when he gets home.
Yeah, and you can look into seeing if you can use part of it or something, too, to make it work properly. So, let's see. God damn it, game. Well, the armor penalty is somewhere, and it's not obviously in the damn rogue section. So,
what?
Oh, that's right. I think it's noted under...
Isn't it under the armor?
It's noted under every single item in rogue, whether it gets affected or not. The actual thing says that, basically according to the rules, like, above. But it does not give a good reference for above. At any rate, this doesn't have where you can, you know, not include the gloves, so you don't have to worry about it affecting your open lock. It would affect your pickpocket. It would affect your ability to disarm traps. It would affect sneak attack. And I believe just generally sneaking as well. But
Well, that doesn't exactly sound like his style.
Yeah.
And we are trying to sneak right now. So he's not going to put anything serious on. That said, if it's like easier for him to... Well, nah, it probably wouldn't be. Nope. I was going to say, like, if it's easier for him to, like, wear the helmet as opposed to carrying it, that would make sense as a thing, but...
I guess there's a helmet, too. You think you could kind of bundle most of this together with some rope or whatever and kind of just have a weird backpack out of it?
Yeah.
For now.
Yeah, it makes sense.
You could probably wear the chainmail without it affecting you too much, like the under section, but...
I bet chainmail is not great for stealth, and we're trying to sneak to the nearest...
Yeah. Okay. You go and you pack it up. But yeah, so you go and you pack that up and you continue heading up towards that gate. The wind gets worse and you're out on an exposed ledge, but you do find a gate and I need a dexterity check to pick the lock so you can get inside.
Yeah. 10 plus, I guess that'd be 20.
Okay. You pick the lock and get inside. No problem. You're getting very comfortable now with these picks. Not that you didn't have the lock pick ability before, but you know, you're feeling good with these tools. And get everyone inside, you lock it behind you, and there is a ravine in front of you. It's not a wide one. It's about 10 feet, and the other side is pretty level with this one. So you think with a good running jump, you could manage it, but there is a gap between you and a cave on the inside that appears to lead back into the mountain.
Ah, well, that looks like a great place to be, but does everybody in this party look like they would be able to make this jump?
Based on the fact they made the climb with you, probably.
Hmm.
Do you ask?
Yeah, he's not going to force the party to do something if they're not feeling up to it. Like, this could definitely separate the party or really hurt somebody. Well, how bad a ravine, actually?
The kind where you can't see the bottom.
Ravines aren't good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't see the bottom from here.
Cross them, usually.
Like, is it so deep it goes back into the mountain, or...
I mean, it goes down into the mountain deeper, so yeah, it's considerable.
Is there a way around, or probably we've probably already looked for a bridge.
There is no bridge. Aramith says, I have rope, so if we can find a place to secure it, especially if one of us can get to the other side first, we can at least, it'll still really hurt if we fall, but we'd have some sort of safety net.
Vaughn's is fast, probably among the smallest and lightest weight among us. The armor he's carrying might weigh him down a bit.
We aren't going to start tracking encumbrance now. And you don't have a lot of gear to carry anyway, so.
Hand wave.
Yeah, it's awkward, but it's not heavy, so you could pretty easily account for it in your jump.
Okay. Well, if everybody here feels up to it, Vaughn's is going to take one end of the rope and humbly request that everybody on that side just kind of hold on to the other end. So if he doesn't make the jump, maybe they can hold on to him.
Yep, you got a line of people. Your universe is Frymeath at the back, does the thing that you do in Tug of War where it's like actually looped around him. So he can kind of use his legs to sit back into it if you really need a break. Hopefully it won't come to that. But, all right. So you go and you get ready to make your jump.
Yep.
Make a dexterity check, please.
Okay, that's as high a roll as I've gotten so far. So this is, it's going to be a 23.
Okay, you definitely jump across the ravine without any issue.
Yay!
You had to get a good running start, but you managed it. And you find a stalactite or slagmite, a little bit back from the ravine that you can loop the rope over and tie pretty securely.
Yeah.
Make a dex check, tie the rope.
Oh, finally, really good roll. That's a 19 on the die, so 29.
Okay, that is extremely secure. So, everyone else is going to try to jump across. First off, we will have Lucky and Aramith. Lucky does fantastically. She got a 19 on the die. Aramith does less fantastically, and mostly just kind of biffs the landing. Like, she's going to have her feet under her. She manages to put one in such a way that she ends up essentially tripping over a rock as she lands. It kind of stumbles and sprawls, just goes, ow. And now both the Frymeaths go.
Yeah, I'm a little more worried about them.
You haven't seen these old men's character sheet, but this is bullshit. They both manage it. This universe, Prime Frymeath seems to be less comfortable with it, but both of them manage that in the issue.
Just call him Frymeath. You know you want to.
I didn't, because I hadn't thought of it. Yeah, so Frymeath and FM, I suppose, for now, both make their way across that, any problem. All right.
Nice.
You gather up your rope and you've made your way into this cavern. Make an intelligence check as you proceed inside.
Okay. Ah, see, this dice is just doing so much better now. I guess that puts it at a 28.
You do fantastic. All right. So you look around and you notice a couple things. First off, that the sun appears to be coming up outside. It's getting bright enough that you're not experienced with how overcast this stormy day is, but I guess it's almost up if it's not up already. And the other thing you notice is that this place has signs of habitation.
Ah, like current.
No. Let's see. So you go and you look around and you see what looks to be a very old fire circle. The stone beneath it is charred black, and you would guess that not much water or wind gets in here. You find a remarkably complete pot along with a couple of other pieces, all ceramic, shattered around nearby. And the more important thing that you find is paintings on the walls. Because you nailed that int check, as I'm going to just immediately mispronounce the name, they remind you of the Chavot cave paintings that you learned about in history class at one point.
Hmm. Man, I love ruins and ancient civilization-y stuff, but this might be a little bit of a distraction. He's going to look around real quick for anything that looks like... I don't know. These guys wouldn't have made it into the mountain, so there's no entrance here.
No, the cave goes further back from here.
The cave goes further. Okay, yeah, so sorry.
There's a tunnel beyond here. But
oh, okay. Well,
you can tell this was once a pretty large cavern. It just got split in half at one point.
Neat.
But you can make an intelligence check to look around if you want.
Well, moreover, he's going to ask Frymeath, does this kind of stuff have value on the arcs, these ancient ruiny things? Is there anybody cares about this?
Yes. historians, archaeologists, me, but because I haven't heard of these before and they're not on the maps, my best guess would be that they gated the cave from the outside, or whoever did it simply wasn't paying attention.
Huh.
That's my favorite lost verse of the Rainbow Connection. The historians, the archaeologists, and me.
So
sorry.
That's a good one.
Oh, good.
Sorry.
Okay. So it has immense cultural value.
Hmm.
Well, if you were thinking in a more mercenary fashion, you could probably sell the location.
Yeah, I don't. Well, no, I'll just let somebody know when we get back. I mean, maybe they'll. Maybe we can form some connections. I don't know many people, so you know, it's a good chance to get to know some of the scholarly types around here. That'd be cool.
We can take the information to the university.
Well, I'm going to look for maybe a trinket of sorts, something that would look old, have some kind of telltale mark, and something that I can take back to show somebody to, you know, prove I'd seen it.
Sure. Make another intelligence check.
Okay, so that would put that at 23.
Okay, you find kind of a large slab of clay where it looks like someone tried with some success to replicate the kind of style of those paintings in clay. You would guess with, you know, a sharp reed or something like that. And you see that there's also, it was painted at some point. It's a little more worn down than the ones on the wall. But it's pretty distinctive and you think would be a good reference point for this, and it's small enough, it's like, you know, 6x9-ish, that you could take it with you.
Yeah, all
not
right
too much issue, just, you know, wrap it in some cloth, which someone here will have to loan you, and be careful with it, you should be able to get it back.
Yeah, let's show this to folks and make some friends later.
All right, I guess add ancient painting to your inventory sheet.
All right,
suppose I could have given you an amulet, but it's too late now. Maybe it'll transform in your bag. At any rate, so you go and you press inwards and continue venturing on. All right.
Yeah.
Wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And Steamboat Willie.
Yeah.
Make a navigation intelligence check for me, please.
Natural one.
Or, sorry. Wealthy, you should be making a wisdom check.
Right. I got a natural one.
Oh, okay. Then I'm at a 24.
Oh, is that all? You can add a d4 because in the event that Steamboat Willie fails, Cog helps you.
Ah, then I'm at a 30.
With a d4?
I added a d4.
I thought you said you were at 24.
I was at 24, then I added 6. I'm at 30.
How did you get 6 on a D4?
That is the question.
Oh, that D4. I went with D6. Never mind.
I like your monster, however.
Okay, then I'm at 26.
Okay. So you go and you're moving down through these caves. Again, you have made a good check and managed to keep yourself away from, you're pretty sure, any creepy crawlies. But you also notice out of the corner of your eye in the shifting light of your light spell that one of the walls seems a little bit off. And you go and you poke your way inside. It's tucked behind a bunch of... There's like a depression in one of the walls or like a small alcove. And it's full of stalagmites and stuff, so you wouldn't have seen it necessarily, but it just something catches your eye and you push your way in and you find that one of the walls is in fact not a cave wall. It is metal. You would guess it's a door based on the fact that it's not, you know, a wall. But it's a metal. It has been shaped and it looks like painted, although that paint seems to have worn down a little bit, to blend itself in with the rest of the cave wall itself.
Does this look like one of the walls that we saw in the valley?
No.
Okay. But it is a metal door.
But you believe were Erisine still alive today, she would have been...
I need to... Let me check
she,
for
she would have been privileged to a check for secret doors for this. Entitled. Bummer. There we go. Entitled to a check for secret doors.
I'm entitled to that check. okay. Let me put my hand on it and on the knob or handle and see whether or not it opens.
Okay, you feel around for a handle and you find one and get a little tug and the door neatly glides inwards. And very, very, very smoothly. This door is like perfectly balanced. And you find your way inside.
All right.
As you step inside, you feel a small, not alarming, but noticeable thrill of... Because you have a very finely tuned sense for magic and you feel a little bit of magic wash over you. And light orbs that have been set up on high shelves in this space all come to life with a medium level of light. You know, it's not super bright. It's not super dim. It's not a candle. It's not a floodlight. It's like a nice lamp, I guess. Okay. So you can clearly see where you are. This looks like someone's apartment. Like, well, sort of. Make another intelligence check to...
Oh my God.
Get an idea of the space.
17.
Okay. You think you are in someone's, you would guess it's a library, den, something like that. Living room.
Living room.
A couple of chairs, couch, firestone, and a hearth. Or actually, no, just a hearth through which you can hear some of the wind outside. Everything's in pretty good condition. Everything is made of stone. And from that intelligence check, you also know that this is really, 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 really good stonework. Like top tier, you know, this is what if the folks in the Gemwood aren't dealing in antiques, this is the kind of thing they're dealing with in terms of skill level.
Okay.
And also everything seems a little bit short. It's more your size than like human size.
More my size or
you would guess that this was probably made by dwarves.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And you do also notice that there are shelves around and there are books and as well as, you know, various small statues, knickknacks and things like that. And that there is more rooms beyond this one.
There are more rooms beyond this one.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. And I feel magic, but there's nothing malevolent to it or anything. It's just magic.
No, you think there was an enchantment to essentially turn the lights on when someone came inside.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm sorry. No.
It's all good.
Does everybody follow me in?
I would assume so.
Because I'm going inside, because there's books and a place to sit. So, but it doesn't have a hearthstone.
No, you would guess that this was maybe built before those, you know, firestones and were popular. So yeah, Steamboat Willie, going inside?
Yeah.
All right. Kaga's going to go in. So you brought your group inside with you.
Okay, so we've got a couple of chairs and is it all bookcases?
It's not wall-to-wall bookcases, but
they are carved into the rock.
Yeah,
exquisitely well.
Yes,
dwarf style. Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna go looking at the books and see if I can find something like a diary or a journal.
If we're gonna chill out here for a bit, I might light a fire because.
Okay. Sounds good.
I'm probably wet and cold a little bit.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, Steam will let you dig around and you find some of the probably most seasoned wood ever. Stashed in a small stone cabinet near the fireplace. So yeah, you're able to get a fire going.
Sweet.
As much as I want to be like, and then all the creosote in the chimney catches fire. Hasn't been maintained. But Wealthy, do you read Dwarvish?
Do I read Dwarvish? I don't. I think I might. Yes, Dwarven.
Well, that's not Dwarvish.
No, I thought I'm... I thought I might have chosen one of the languages the party didn't have. Not intentionally, I just thought it'd be funny. So,
Wealthy Grix went to college.
Grix Prime also has Dwarven.
Uh-huh.
But he's asleep, so it doesn't matter. But yes.
He's having all these weird dreams of his friends lost in endless passages beneath the earth. So it's like normal, but this time not everyone's naked and they're not all late for school. So, Wealthy, you look around and you find these are just a mix of books, a lot of history, a lot of kind of general interest, stories, myths. There's actually a lot of mythology in here.
Okay.
It looks like mostly Dwarven, and it ranges from the pretty standard, oh, I've heard of that, to like, I think that was mentioned once in one of my mythology classes. Maybe the name sounds familiar, like levels of obscure where it's like, it's okay. A whole book about this character. But yeah, it's just kind of some more general knowledge stuff, books on stonecraft, things like that. Okay. But that's what you find in this room.
But I don't find anything that journals or anything like that.
Not in this room. There may be more elsewhere.
Okay. I look around. Are there any doors to any other rooms?
Yes. There's a door in like the middle of the far wall from the wall you came in on that leads into what seems to be a short hallway.
All right, I'm down for it. I'm gonna check everything out.
Okay.
Actually, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna ask Sidroa. Do you feel anything evil?
No, just empty.
Empty. Okay, that's fine.
I think no one has been here for some time.
Okay, that's good to know. Are you doing okay?
Yes.
Okay. I feel really bad that you haven't eaten anything yet. I mean, you know, but you keep telling me there's nothing evil to eat. So, and don't tell me about Aramis again, Aristique again, because I really don't want. I don't want to do that. Okay. Anyway,
I merely hinted at that. I don't have a nose. How is it bleeding? So you explore the rest of the place.
Yeah.
Sounds like. All right. You go down the hallway. There's basically two doors to the right, one to the left, and one straight in front of you. I'm not going to make you choose. So you find a kitchen with, you hear more howling wind. There's basically an iron wood stove kind of set up in here. Also, all the food's gone bad.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
Even the Dwarven bread made from, you know, Sir Pratchett's recipes couldn't make it. So, small kitchen. The far door that you go through leads into a... Well, actually, sorry. I should have you go. So, you go to you see the kitchen. You find, like, the water closet bathroom kind of set up, sharing a wall with the kitchen. And then before you go to the one that's on the far side, you go and you go into the other door, which is the bedroom, you would assume, based on the bed.
Okay.
So...
Keen analytical skills working here.
Real Sherlock. You see the bed, you see that there are bookshelves in here. It looks like, let me actually pull up my notes. I wouldn't want to get the water source wrong. That clearly matters. It looks like maybe there was some sort of like quartz-filled light shaft in here. You get the impression you're actually kind of close to the outside of the mountain here. See, yeah, there's a very dim light coming in, and the lights in here do not turn on when you walk in.
Okay.
But you can see a little bit by that. But that quartz-filled shaft appears to have weakened at some point because there's water dripping inside.
Oh, no.
So there's some puddles on the floor. There is an abundance of flora here, mostly the fungal variety, but especially on the bed. Make another intelligence check.
All right. Well, I know what I should see. That is a 17 on... 5 on the die, 17.
Okay. Yeah, but it's a prime. And the way there's kind of a mound of fungal stuff in the center, you would guess you found the original residence of this place.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you would guess that's where the body is. You're also surprised by the sheer variety. Lots of mushrooms, you know, you got red and pink and purple and even some like faintly bioluminescent greens and blues that almost have like if they were coated in glitter kind of bioluminescence, along with stuff that, you know, is in shells or has those kind of wavy blooms like a seashell stacked inside each other or flowers. It's actually quite pretty. You don't think too much about the medium. And then the rest of the bed. And you would guess the mattress is slowly being consumed by it as well. With that intelligence check, you'd also guess this person died some time ago. While looking around, you'd also find that there are numerous books in here and a small desk. You carefully dig around. You find a row of journals.
Oh, cool.
It looks like the early ones have been destroyed by mildew and mold. Like, you try to open them, because sometimes you can, you know, it's just the edges of a page, right? You can still read, and you just hold your breath real good, take a look. But, like, no, they're completely gone. But the, like, 75% of them are readable.
Okay.
And the newest ones are pretty well intact. So.
All right.
Yeah.
So what do I see? I'm reading it. I find out who this person is?
You do, sort of. So this person, shockingly, uses first person in the journals. So you don't have a name. But you find that this is a dwarf, a man, from what you can tell, who lived here before the launch. And about partway through, it seems like maybe the launch, he had some warning, so the mountain didn't just take off underneath him. but something of a hermit, an expert stone crafter, and especially as the journals go on, you get the sense intensely agoraphobic. And so lived in this apartment. There's mentions of trading with people outside the mountain, but that, you know, he made sure to swear them to secrecy. You get a slight prepper vibe from this guy as well.
Oh, joy.
Not militia way, just in a, if I'm going to live in this one spot and not go outside, I'm going to be sure I have everything I need.
Okay.
So, like, there's drawings of different kind of mechanisms and stuff that were built. Nothing complicated, but seems like somewhat self-taught. And the other thing you note is that towards the end there of the journals, you know, he knows he's getting old. He knows he's probably about to die. This is after the mountain has taken off. But he does note that he's completed his masterpiece and is kind of satisfied with how his life was lived. It gets really self-reflective at the end.
Okay.
Shockingly.
He has created his masterpiece.
He says a masterpiece out of the studio where he made all his other work.
Okay, so I'm going to assume that the studio's the other room that I haven't been in yet.
That would seem a reasonable guess. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to tuck the journal into my bag so that I can take it into the university and they can start coming up here and seeing what's going on.
Several volumes, so it's more of a Tetris affair, but yes.
Yeah. But he should be laid to rest by other dwarves, and he should his legacy should be shared.
Yeah. All right. And so do you go check out the final room?
Yes.
And a shocking twist, do you think you have found the studio?
Again, highly analytical skills being used here.
So I need you to make another intelligence check.
That is an 18.
Okay, first off, because I just should have given it to you earlier, you would guess that the lights in here can also be turned on and off the command word, not that you know what it is.
Right. I'm going to randomly say light.
In Dwarvish? Or Dwarven? Yeah. You know, I set it for old 10. It works.
Yay!
The lights go up in brightness to their maximum.
Good. Great.
In the entire apartment, so. Steamboat Willie gets brighter in here.
Oh, good.
As you're drying off. And then you go and you head into the studio itself where the lights are still dim. You guess they're a very neutral color, or like kind of a pale white compared to the warmer colors of the rest of this place. So you would assume that they are controlled differently. You also see that there are windows that look like they were covered by some sort of like basically pocket door stone sliders that have been shut.
Okay.
Except for another one of those quartz light shafts that's in the center of this room. Or actually, I guess it's off to one side. It's large and it illuminates everything else. And that intelligence check lets you know that this is a giant spiraling depiction of a dwarvish god named Throgwen.
Throgwen?
Throgwen. Throgwen.
Exactly how it sounds.
The E may or may not have an umlaut. I'm not sure. which, you know, and the biggest depiction of this figure looks like they are carving the quartz circle in the center that's letting the lights in. And you know that there was a myth where he carved the moon Fatmon, which is one of the, or yeah, Fatmon, Fotmon, which is the biggest moon that one can see in the sky. And
the biggest moon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carved it from a star, took one of the stars down and carved the moon. And that the chips and bits of stone are the other, or I guess took the star down and carved it. And then the chips and the pieces of stone that were cast off from that are the bigger pieces are, you know, the stars you can see more distinctly in the sky. And I don't think astronomy is a big thing in this world, but like other planets and stuff probably too, you know, visible bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And then the chips became the, you know, dust smear. Like if you look at the Milky Way when you're out somewhere dark, where there's that smear of stars across the sky. And all of this has been depicted. You can see kind of the whole flow of the myth, even though it's mostly this big centerpiece, like everything else is included. And you notice if you kind of look at the top and work your way around, it does tell everything. And every single star from the smallest to the largest has been inlaid, you think, with quartz or a gem of some sort. So all of it glitters as you look at it.
Oh my God. This must be the most beautiful thing in the world. I'm going to call Steamboat Willie and Coggin and show them this gorgeous piece. And now I'm even more convinced that this needs to be categorized and studied.
Cog just looks up and goes, wow.
Wow.
God, I couldn't do that if you gave me 1,000 years.
No, this is pretty spectacular. I guess Steamboat Willie's not impressed.
Oh, I'm just taking it all in. I'm not. I don't know what's not normal for around here, so.
This is pretty spectacular.
Okay, cool.
You haven't seen anything like this before on the arcs.
I say, you haven't seen anything like this before on your home planet either. Like
sure.
This is not as big as the Sistine Chapel, but it reminds you of that kind of level of effort and work. But yeah. And useful.
Yeah, this place neat. So, all right. So he's created this absolutely stunning artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else in the studio?
There's tools well cared for, still in good condition. There is actually what you determine to be a small forge, an anvil. It looks like it was only big enough to work on things roughly the size of the tools or, you know, other small items. You weren't mm-hmm. building swords or armor in this thing, but. And there is a door to the outside, although it is very well secured, many a lock, all shut. But if you like crack one of the windows and look outside, you see that there is, it's pretty crumbled at this point. You'd guess there was not built to be a path, but relatively followable path up to here.
Oh, there we go.
That's probably been lost to, you know, time and the weather. But from some of the entries too, you would guess that that's where this guy did his trade.
Sure.
With other people.
Also, windows, actually mention what a novelty.
Huh?
Windows, what a novelty.
Yeah. It's hard to be close enough to the outside. And these windows still are like, you know, a foot thick.
Right.
But yeah. So you can see maybe how people got here originally. Although you also see that you are still pretty damn high up.
And you're on probably, one of the. We can make it down from here if we want to go outside.
It's still very stormy out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, this would actually be a pretty viable way down. You think you are on. So there's kind of the front side with the plazas. There's the back side with like the Shire with bomb shelters, as I keep forgetting the official name we gave it. Kind of the sides of the mountain around are like less. There's less ground that just made its way off with the main body of the mountain. Still more than enough to navigate through, but there's a reason you mostly use the. There's a tunnel cut through the center of the mountain from one side to the other. So. You wouldn't be going down to the most populated area ever, but you'd also be out of the way of the main fighting, assuming it has stayed to where it usually does. And yeah, you think that out here would be a decent way down if you needed to. And Wealthy, make an intelligence or wisdom check, your choice.
It'll be intelligence. That's a 17 again.
Okay. Based on your knowledge of the outer side, of the outside of the arcs, which is better than most people's, partially just because of where you grew up, you know that there are watchtowers from the Guardians that are scattered throughout here. Like,
okay,
mostly, you know, the trees here are allowed to grow. What life lives here is allowed to be undisturbed. But there are watchtowers for the the guardians, which is how part of how the alarm system works. Whoever mm-hmm. rings the bell first, then, you know, the ones next to them also start ringing their bells and so on. So you might be able to find one of them and they might be able to help you. It wouldn't be too hard to find them once you got closer, assuming there is one near you and, you know, not blocked by the side of the mountain or a particularly obstinate tree.
I'm going to ask Cog what he thinks of this idea. I would ask Steamboat Willie, but he doesn't know very much. I'll explain it to him and he sure. can give his opinion. But I'm looking to Cog for his wisdom.
We'd be really exposed out there. I'm not yeah. saying it's a bad idea, yeah. but this path looks like it was just kind of what we can see of it. Looks like it was just kind of up the side of the mountain.
I agree.
It's probably all switchbacks if it's good. So
I've been accused of being an overly cautious halfling, so I wanted to make sure I wasn't going to be overly cautious and say, maybe we shouldn't do this.
Who yeah. would have done that?
Says the voice in your head.
No, let's stay inside. Yeah.
Okay, we'll go. We'll stay inside.
Probably a nice walk on a good day, but yeah. Yeah. Well, they make another wisdom check.
Wisdom or?
Wisdom.
That is a 13 on a not prime.
All right. It's just a storm, but they're probably right. You don't see anything particularly threatening out there, but you would potentially have seen something, but it would have been flavor, so don't worry about it too much. All right. So you head back on inside and you continue to head on down.
Okay. And I do make note of where we are so that we can. And I count on, I ask Cog to make sure that we can find this place again, that we could lead somebody here.
Cog fishes out some chalk and starts marking on the walls pretty regularly and also taking some notes. And on the back of some, you know, it's just the back of some of those like report tickets that he has on him. But, you know, he's probably just using the blanks. It's fine.
It's fine.
So... All right. So you guys continue to head on down.
Yeah.
Cool, Vons.
Yeah.
Make another intelligence check.
All right.
Or sorry, you're making wisdom checks. I will remember this eventually.
Okay.
And then Fryneath will try to help you.
Is it listen by chance or?
No.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's not so bad. 24.
Okay. Add a D6 because Fryneath did help you.
That one is the D6. 24 plus 2. 26.
All right. You find your way pretty efficiently, and you find an area that there's water dripping from the ceiling. There are small, narrow shafts of light coming in from, you would guess, extremely narrow cracks out to the outside. You would guess now, too, that it is fully sunrise at this point, and they illuminate for you, especially with your low light vision, an area that is full of like out jutting stone and kind of big shelves stacked at various heights and, you know, big kind of rectangular blocks coming out. And you also quickly determine that in this area are many, many, many tunnels going many, many, many directions. So covered in flora, moss, small flowering things, lichen, etc., thriving off the water and the light. But despite the fact that you can tell that this would be the kind of place where you could get lost pretty easily, you poke your head around, you look pretty carefully. I'm just going to have that 26 ride, essentially. And you determine that some of these loop back on each other. Some of them get, you know, go pretty tight, but you think you figure out what the best choice would be for where to keep going from here to get up to your friends.
Okay. Neat.
You will need a dexterity check to climb up there, however.
Oh, we can do that.
Because you have the climb ability now.
Oh, is that an ability?
For rogues, yes.
Yeah.
Huh.
Not that you'd need it for this, but...
Well, I might hit. I only rolled a 5.
Oof.
So that would be 14. No. Dexterity?
Yep.
That'd be... Uh-huh. Yeah, he gets a 15 for that.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a prime.
It's a prime. And this is the kind of thing where, especially as long as you have someone like giving people a boost when certain heights are awkward or whatever, like this would be a fun thing to climb around if you weren't specialized in climbing. And getting up to that one spot is kind of hard. But once one of you is up there, you can, you know, drop a rope and help the rest or just give people a hand up. And between all of you, you manage to clamber on up.
Yeah.
Wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom check for navigation, please.
You're killing me here.
Yeah, I know.
Ah, 27.
Steamboat Willie, would you like to try to assist?
Sure.
Assistance on 27?
What am I? What?
You're rolling an intelligence check as per
usual. Same thing that we're.
Okay. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Probably 13.
Okay.
Prime.
Wealthy, you can roll an extra d6.
Yeah, that's 1.
So 28.
Yeah.
So you didn't ascend to the heights where in 3.5 D&D you could have swam up a waterfall. I think that's 40 anyway. But but you are navigating extremely well. And more importantly, you see the next hazard coming. So you don't stumble into it. You were pretty sure that that waterfall could not just all come from above. And the tunnel you guys reach, you both know that it would be best if you went down it at least some distance. And also, very much notice that it is currently a rushing river of water from the outside.
Okay.
You would guess it is somewhere between waist and shoulder deep for you. But you see a tunnel a short distance down, or, you know, another tunnel branching off a short distance down that you would think is your best bet for getting where you're going. You also know that this rushing water probably leads out into that central shaft of the waterfall, and that it would still be a long way down from here. So, you know, be careful.
Yeah. Yeah. It occurs to me. I'm going to, I don't think I want anything to do with the water. The last time we were in water, we ended up in hell, and that wasn't a good time.
Yeah. You think if you're careful, you could stay on the edges of this tunnel?
I'm careful.
You just have to be dexterous about it.
Yeah, well, you're trying to kill us, so.
I would never.
And we think that's
I'm sure that's what Erisine thought.
The most direct way to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kelly, that is not remotely the same situation. No. You can't keep bringing that up as if it's like a universal thing.
Erisine is dead. It's universal right now.
It is the truth universally acknowledged that everyone will get poisoned.
Sure, but Erisine is dead because of her own character arc.
I understand that. Okay, okay.
And that's why no one should grow as a person. It's hazardous.
Okay, Steamboat.
Yep.
Cog, what do you guys think? We can do this? Okay. Lead the way.
I do.
All right.
I will keep Featherfall in readiness in case somebody falls down.
All right. So, can all go together?
Yep.
All right.
Close enough.
I need dexterity checks from both of you. So it's not a super wide tunnel, woo-hoo! But
26.
Damn. That's 20, 17.
5. Sorry. Lied.
And 25. 17.
I'm gonna stop using this dice.
Dexterity is a prime for wealthy. Grix knocked it out of the park. But you got a 25.
Yeah.
Cog gets a little shaky here and there, but you guys manage to steady him without too much issue because you're both doing fine. So you make your way down, you're across from the tunnel you need to get to, and I need either strength or dexterity checks from each of you to jump across to get out of here.
Nope.
Well, that's a nat 1.
I rolled a 2.
Fucking god damn it.
Okay, Cog leaps across and camera stays on him as he looks back and goes, guys, wealthy. Steamboat Willie.
I jump across and...
You discover the dangers of rushing rivers you can't see the bottom of. Which are many, however. You go and you start being washed down this tunnel.
I'm going to cast... okay, is Cog... Okay.
Cog is safe. Steamboat Willie is Cog with is you safe. Also.
Okay, I'm going to grab Steamboat Willie and I'm going to cast Featherfall.
Okay.
Grab and Steamboat we rise Willie. Up... Well, no, that doesn't work. I need to cast Levitate. Because Featherfall just keeps us from falling. We're already in the water, so we're not falling anymore. So I need to cast Levitate.
Do you have a cast of Levitate?
Yes.
Okay. Roll a d10 with me. You're also just going to roll a d10.
Okay, just a second. Nope, that's an 8. That's a 9.
Okay. So before you start slamming against walls and stalagmites and other such things... you manage to get your cast of Levitate off, and you grab Steamboat, and you two rise up, and you're both short, so you can stay above the water.
Thank goodness.
And the Levitate has no movement forward or backwards.
No, it does not.
It does let you drag yourself against surfaces.
Okay.
If you want.
So we're... The top of the cavern is above the river isn't very high, is it?
No.
Okay, then I will levitate
keep your feet
up.
Out of the water.
I will levitate up and start pulling us along the water, and I imagine Cog is going to do something about... I'll drag us... I have this vision of what we look like, and it's ridiculous.
You should share with the class.
Well, it's just me... me doing... With Cog, like,
or
wrapped...
Steamboat Willie is the one.
Steamboat Willie wrapped around my belly, you know, just holding on, and I'm pulling myself along, just kicking, both of us kicking our feet. It's just a ridiculous vision. So I'm dragging us over to where Cog is.
All right. It takes some effort, and levitate doesn't last forever, but it lasts more than long enough for this. Steamboat, this is enough. Not the Superman thing that you got to see earlier. It's not nearly so graceful, but you do make your way to where Cog is and drop down, and you are at the tunnel that you were trying to get to. Not too much the worse for wear.
Cool.
Okay. And then both Bonds and Wealthy, you're both going to give me your wisdom checks to proceed forward. Steamboat Willie, please roll intelligence check to assist. And Vons, you can add a d6.
Oh, thank God.
I got a 23.
I got a 21 with the intelligence check.
On a not prime.
Okay. And Wealthy, you can also add the d6.
Oh, okay.
Because Steamboat Willie passed.
So that is a 29.
Okay.
I got a 16 total.
Not a prime.
Not a prime.
And that included your d6?
Yeah.
All right. And sorry, well, he got a 29, something like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a 13 plus 10 plus 6.
So you are hiking along and you think you know a good route. You hit some dead ends, things like that. But you go and you are walking along and there's like a small, you know, tiny hole between this and like another tunnel. And you hear footsteps from the other side and a quiet talking. And do you think you recognize the voices? Mostly in tone and cadence. You can't make out what they're saying exactly. They're still
Vons?
They're still walking. You would need like yell or something.
Vons?
Vons. You hear someone talking to you.
Oh, good.
Through a hole in the wall.
Vons, is that you?
Through a hole in the wall. This hole in the wall is talking, guys.
It's me. It's Wealthy. Oh, you're cool, Vons. Okay. You're cool, Vons.
Uh-huh.
It's fucking Shakespearean, man.
What do you? Did you come up here to rescue Steamboat Willie? Because we got him right now.
Oh, you've got him?
Yeah, we got him right here.
Yep, that's great. No problems.
Well, shit. Just like turning around right now feels like a. We went through a lot, actually.
Oh, you want to go see a spider bear?
I do not want to see a spider bear.
Okay, so we're all gonna want to find a different way back, probably. Oh, wait, no. One of you guys can fly, right?
I can fly, but I can't take you all with me.
Huh. Again?
Well, it still might make the ravine easier. There's a whole rope thing we can do.
I hate to admit this, but I wasn't paying as much attention as I should have been during. My mind was wandering. But it doesn't matter, because Wealthy doesn't know what's going on either. So what did you guys hit?
Oh, well, there's like a ravine and like some stuff. It feels like it was a lot. I think there was some climbing involved. It's been a morning, let me tell you.
Yeah, I know. Maybe we ought to go. God. Does anybody have anything they think? The problem is we have a lot of NPCs, and I don't want. I hate to have our CK
talk to themselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there another way? Like, there's not just two directions, right? We passed other passageways that.
And your guess would be that there is a way to, based on that 29, you're pretty sure that at least if you want to meet up, you got Cool Vons going the wrong direction, but can point them in the right one if you try.
Did you guys recently come to a split in the path in the tunnel?
You did.
Gosh, you know it would be really useful right now, some of that stone shape potion. I don't suppose Lucky has any of that on her.
No.
No.
What's this about a split?
Did you guys recently just go down a split? Choose a split in the tunnel?
Yeah, it kind of went back behind us.
Okay.
There we go.
So why don't we all continue down until we meet up again, and then we'll figure out what we need to do.
Sure. That sounds good to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, at least it's another way. Like, let's just try other paths. I mean, it can't all be cliffs or waterfalls or spider bears.
No, there could be worse stuff happening. Vons, do you want to do that?
Cool, Vons? Sure. It's as good as any other way. I mean, we were just going forward until we found Steamboat here. So, how's it going, bud?
It's going good.
Doing all right?
Yeah, I'm okay. Everything's fine. We won't talk about it. We'll talk about it later. Everything's fine. I didn't make a mistake. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
No, of course not.
I didn't know.
A random series of extremely bizarre mistakes.
I'm sensing a story there, but yeah, we can get into that later.
All right. So you go and you correct your direction.
By the way, I got to the very top of the mountain.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the tip top.
Was it awesome?
It was great.
Okay, you guys can talk when we get back down.
Yeah.
To meet up.
You are cut off from further conversation as you head on down the tunnel out of your shot from each other by several feet of stone, at the least. And you wind your way through, and both of you, at roughly the same time, exit out onto another small cavern. There's a door to the outside that you notice is extremely secure. It's made of stone, banded metal, and several locks. And you also find some cots, like stone cots with bedrolls on them. You find a small, you know, firestone fireplace, or, you know, fire circle, like cooking pot thing. You can actually feel the heat radiating off of it. The firestone is set down into a metal vessel that then is glowing hot at this point. But it's keeping this place warm and dry. You find several packs that have, if you poke through them at all, include rations and things like that, and a few weapons. Those of you that live here, you think you have found a fallback position for some of the flyers.
Yeah, that's fairly obvious.
There's gear for about, you know, 10 people in here.
Are there any spears or swords or short daggers?
There are spears, and yeah, there's a couple of each of those. Well-maintained and, like, oiled and kept in.
My suggestion is going to be to sit down, maybe eat some rations, see what the storm does. I think we're going to have to head out onto the mountain and go find a watchtower. I think that's going to be our best bet.
Yeah, that might be.
How long do these storms normally last?
Well, this one's been lasting forever because we're now in storm. Like,
yeah.
So it might not stop. It might just die down.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. So you guys hole up in a fairly safe spot. Grix.
Yeah.
Prime.
Yeah.
And Jesse.
Yeah.
You wake
Hello.
Up. One of you in a pile of spouses.
Oh, hi.
One of you just in your own bed.
Yeah.
Jesse gets up and
wipes off morning drool.
I'm not getting into that. She like puts pants
it's rude
on.
To bring up the fact that Hank occasionally accidentally drools on his spouses when he sleeps.
Jesse puts on like just enough clothes that she can go out in public, and she goes and knocks on Wealthy and Grix's door to be like, hey, so like what do you want to do about the going to find Steamboat Willie?
Grix, you have no idea what the hell Jesse is talking
yep,
about.
Nope, no idea. I don't know anything about this. What happened? Where's Steamboat?
Wealthy was like, oh, he's not here. I better go find him.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, it's the middle of the night and he's an adult, so like maybe not. And
I mean,
so now I'm back because it's not the middle of the night and apparently she's not here either.
Yeah, I don't know. He's not from around here, so I don't know that he could be. How many times have we almost died and we live here?
I mean, I guess I don't know the answer to that necessarily.
I've almost died a lot here.
Oh.
So,
well,
if he's anything like me, he's going to almost die here a lot too.
Oh.
And he's a lot like
Should me. We like get you out of here?
Yeah. Yeah, we should all get like, out of here. Yeah. The mountain's almost, crashing.
Well, yeah. I'm trying not to think about that if I can help it, unless I like have to for plan makings.
Sure. Yeah, but we should all get out of here, but we should go find him because that's rough.
Should we like ask, I don't know, anybody at the Fermenting Fox?
Yeah,
if they
probably,
saw him.
Probably, yeah.
Is Bartholomew around?
Yeah, I look for Bartholomew. I call for him. I ring his bell.
Bartholomew is not around.
Really? Bartholomew didn't fucking come home?
That's what I was actually trying to figure out. Let's see. That was cool, Vons.
Mm.
Would you have tried to recruit a tiny messenger rat to your mission?
Not
into the... Well, I don't know if you would have thought that way.
Okay, in that case, yeah, Bartholomew's there.
Yeah.
He shows up.
Okay. Oh, hey, can you send a message to the fermenting fox about Wealthy and...
Yeah, maybe we should just Willy. Go. Maybe we should just go. Start. Bartholomew, do you...
Well, my thought is... Sorry.
Okay, what's
I'd
up?
I'd like to send the message.
Cool.
And maybe if I say what the message is, Bartholomew will be able to give us information.
What's sure. the message?
Well, I was saying, I want to send a message to the fermenting fox about, where's Wealthy and Steamboat Willie. So,
okay.
Is that... So I say that out loud first. In Bartholomew's hearing, does yes. Bartholomew react to that information at all?
Bartholomew, you kind of go and you pick up a pen to start writing. Bartholomew kind of squeaks and roll wisdom to interpret Bartholomew's charades.
Doesn't Grix still have a...
Only if he remembers.
Yeah, I've got the feather thing. I put it on. Yeah, hey, did you help out in the night with whatever who was looking for other me?
Bartholomew communicates in a voice that is whatever the listener is imagining. It fits in perfectly, and that I will decide upon later. That, first off, that it's weird to talk to you like this. Second.
Haven't we before? Thought we did this already.
You talked to a squirrel.
That's it? Okay. Hi, hey, I've got this thing now. We can talk. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, we already met.
Formally. Oh, you cool. sound like Mitt.
Listen, I just woke up.
Yeah. So, did you help the folks at the night?
Yeah, they're okay. looking for Steamboat.
Yeah.
We got a Cool Vons went and Lucky went, and they got some other people before I left.
Okay. Do you know about Wealthy? Do you know where Wealthy is?
Let's see. Wealthy, you went and checked with the fermenting fox? Or no, you just sent a message.
Yeah.
Wealthy sent the message, so she probably went with them.
Okay. Okay. Well.
I mean, that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
I think they mentioned going to command.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Maybe we should go there then.
What if we just go to command and find out what happened, and maybe if we have to go outside from there, we'll be, we can get help because you're an overseer and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds good. I like that plan.
Okay.
To command.
Put on pants.
All right. And that's where we'll pick up next time.
Cool beans.
Primary Attribute has been imagined and brought to life by the people you've heard. For more information about the podcast, check out our website, primaryattribute.com. For questions, comments, and feedback, email us at letters@primaryattribute.com. To follow us on social media, you can find us at facebook.com/primaryattributepod. On Twitter, @primeattribute. And @primaryattribute.tumblr.com for all our blazed posts. Is that really the term we're using these days? Castles and Crusades is published by Troll Lord Games. Our theme music was composed by Aaron. Our logo was designed by, me, that's Adam. This week's editor was Wit. Thanks, Wit. Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in next time to Primary Attribute.
Give me a second. I'm going to mute myself because I'm going to clatter
something. Jesus. Okay.
Okay.
Imagine how bad it must have gone after that.
Yeah.